Our gospel lesson today pretty easily qualifies as my favorite. The scripture's full of images, images for God, images for Jesus. The ways that we understand, whether we talk about the shepherd or a brother or a friend who's closer than a brother, there are many images for the holy. But this one is probably the best. It's from John, the 15th chapter. Jesus himself is teaching. And he speaks of vine and branches. Listen to these words, and in them, hear the word of the Lord. I am the true vine, the true vine. And my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You've already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. So abide in me, just as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, says the Lord, and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and that you become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Therefore, abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and so that your joy may be complete. This is the reading of the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our old habits are hard to break. And sometimes I guess the best way to break an old habit is to replace it with a new one. And we've replaced one recently here in our life of worship, and it's standing for scripture reading. And in the tradition of the church, especially the Catholic tradition, the congregation always stands for the gospel reading. And we've now gotten in the habit of standing for the early reading, which very often is from the epistle or from the Old Testament or a psalm. And then it seems backwards to me that we don't stand for the gospel lesson, which we should. And so if you will help me with that, I forgot it just now. I intended to do it. But if you will help me with that, you just stand when we start reading the gospel lesson or whatever the sermon text is. And when I see you stand, I'll just imitate and ask everyone else to stand as well. I can remember that, especially if I write a note about it. But it's a matter of honoring and giving thanks and standing out of respect and giving God our full attention. So I like it, and I didn't mean to discount it. I love that reading, though, from John 15. I'd like to share with you today that I have gone through phases of how to preach and prepare to preach. And you know that if you've paid much attention. You know that that I change from time to time, and I have to, or else it gets stale, doesn't it? Sometimes I have a complete script and either read it or most nearly read it or recite it because I know it so well. Sometimes I go with notes or an outline or even pictures that I sometimes draw that remind me of the scheme of things and what I intended to say. Those are most fun, really. I think sermons like that may even be more appealing to the children, because even though I don't show you those pictures or show them even, those pictures are there and they live and they breathe. But this text leans itself particularly well to a picture. And there's a beautiful picture of grapes on the front cover of our bulletin that Amy does a great job of, and Elizabeth does it too sometimes, picking the picture to put on the front of the bulletin. And it does help us to have an image to hang on. And of course, there are multiple images of fruit in the Scriptures. Later in the New Testament, we find the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit of God, as it bears fruit within us, making itself manifest in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness. You know those. Self-control, that's the one that is the hardest. That's usually listed last, not because it's the hardest, because it's the one that we most need to remember. And if you list it last in the list, then it's the one that sticks in your mind. So there is an abundance of fruit in the Scripture. You know, there's always Jesus talking about the vine, the branches, the bearing fruit. In the Old Testament, there's plenty of references to fruitfulness and to managing the vine, grapevine, so that it bears more fruit. And Jesus here brings this image into the forefront right here of our understanding, and to talk about this in the ways that he does is probably unheard of. Even in his time, people knew about vines and vineyards and grapes, of course, but they hadn't probably ever heard somebody say, "I am the vine." And that must have gotten their attention. It must have rung in their minds for a moment and beyond, just to hear someone say that, "I am the vine and you are the branches." Jesus was great at using analogies, stories, and parables to talk about the relationships and discipleship and growth in faith. Jesus used an abundance of images. Fairly often they were fishing images. "I will make you fishers of men, fishers of people. Follow me. Come follow me and I will make you fish for people." And he chose fishermen as his disciples. As far as I know, just about 100% of them were fisher people. Well, no surprise. They lived along the shores of the Sea of Galilee and it was a place of fishing, and the fishing trade was how they made their living. Jesus said, "You follow me and I'll make you fish for people." But he chose people that knew how to fish already. It's a wholesome thing, isn't it, Chris, to get out on the water and just drop a line and wait. And and to know where to drop it, you know, and where you'll catch some fish. Jesus had to say to the disciples, you've been fishing all night and haven't caught anything. Maybe you need to change your perspective. Fish out of the other side of the boat. And of course they did, and they put down and pulled out and brought in enough fish that the nets broke. Scriptures are full, the gospel story is full of fishing analogies and agricultural images. And this we have today is probably the soundest agricultural image we could imagine. A grapevine connected to the earth, rooted and strong, and with branches that grow out from the vine. And you know, if grapes are trained along the wire like they usually are when they're cultivated, that vine just grows and grows and grows. It doesn't ever seem to stop growing. It will cover the entire line and bear fruit all along the way. What a great and wonderful image it is for us as we try to live reaching out, reaching up for the light and all that we need from God, our source, like a plant reaches to the sky for light and for moisture. But if we tend to ourselves and grow together and let others have some authority to hold us accountable, then we can grow together too. We can entwine our lives, and we do. And we can grow along the lines of a fence row or a wire where the grapes are growing. Really, being a vine is not a bad image. It really is a pretty appropriate image for us as human beings, because we're going to grow. The question is how? Where? Where are we going to go when we grow? If you grow along the fence row, or grow along a training wire where the grapes are supposed to grow, then there's a guide that keeps you moving in the right direction and keeps you up off the ground. I don't know if you can see all the spiritual analogies in that, but I think that it's worth pondering to think about how we grow. I mean to say that we are growing. We are going to grow. The question is what direction. When we stop growing, we die. Okay, that's the deal. You grow or you don't. And I believe that our growing needs some maintenance. I'm talking not so much about growing as a church family now. I'm talking about growing as an individual, a disciple of Christ. Growing on the pathway of discipleship so that we honor Him in all that we do and say. But Jesus in this passage gives us a new understanding of this. Jesus was fond of taking an analogy, whether it was about fishing or farming, and making it something holy, making it something sacred, making it something, well, a sheep was a common one. And you know, the images that Jesus chose were not out of a textbook. They were out of the life of the people who lived there. The analogies that Jesus used were were images that were already familiar. And he kind of used them and refocused them and gave them new meaning. Whether it was sheep or fishing or farming, growing grapes. King James Version of the Bible doesn't always help us to understand. Kind of an outdated term, but in the King James Version of this, Jesus says, "I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman, the caretaker, the one who prunes the vines, the one who is the gardener who cuts the, who prunes the branches away that need to be cut off and trains them to go along the path that they should go." What a great idea. What a great image that is. I don't know if it's husband is like caretaker, caregiver maybe. And we use that word in our marriages, our wife or our husband, and really the concept of caregiving should be mutual, and should be something that we each cherish the opportunity of caring for another in the best and holiest of ways. But here the word husband refers to the vine dresser, the gardener, the one who has the responsibility for caring for the vineyard. But Jesus, in his analogy, says that the Heavenly Father is the gardener. The gardener is involved with everything that has to do with the vine. These verses are precious to us and give us this image of God as the gardener. Well, what does a gardener do? What does a vine dresser do? One is he challenges the branches to grow. He may even prune them, cut them back so that they grow in a good direction, or so that they branch out rather than just growing in a single straight line. The gardener will take away an unfruitful branch and prune it out so that it's not in the way. Or perhaps a branch that has fallen and lays on the ground and needs to be just brought back up onto the plant and onto the line between the plants so that it can be fruitful. And so that when it does bear grapes, they won't lay in the dirt, but rather will hang in the sunlight to be nourished by the sun and by the vine. A vine dresser may prune the branch, cut pieces of it off so that it grows in the right direction. A plant can sometimes have sucker branches that pull energy from the roots, but that really don't bear any fruit. And I think that Jesus would like that analogy. In fact, doesn't he say it? That my Father prunes the branches that don't bear fruit and nourishes those that do. Pruning can hurt, but it's necessary for bearing good fruit. Sometimes we end up needing to be pruned and challenged and maybe knocked down a notch or two. But the purpose is what we keep in mind. And when you talk about an analogy of grapevines, you have to acknowledge that the whole purpose of the entire mission of planting and watering and pruning and caring and cultivating, the whole purpose of it is to bear fruit. And so we have analogies in scriptures about how we are to bear fruit, how we are to be able to show the fruit of God's Spirit with love and joy, peace, patience. Patience is always the one that gets me. Kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. All of those things are said to be fruits of God's Spirit within us, and fruits of God's pruning, I think. God's cultivation, watering and feeding and nurturing a plant so that it bears good fruit. All of this is for a purpose. And the purpose is so that we can glorify God in all that we say and do. And so that we can bring others into that relationship as well. The branch is to abide in the vine. I like that word. To live and to draw from it as our source of life and living. We have a responsibility to produce fruit. Branches that are pruned well produce well. And so we open ourselves to that pruning and cultivation and to be able to know that we're planted in ground, in earth that is rich, that soil that is full of nutrients that we need. We have to keep working at that. You know, that's why you're here this morning, probably. Because you know that you need to work at that. And you're not the only ones. As we work on ourselves, we ask God, invite God to carve on us too, to prune us and to help us to grow the right directions and to grow good fruit, to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. I know that you already trust in this word and that you are here because you love God and you know God loves you and you're here to worship. We also come to abide in the vine, to spend our time and energy in seeking the source and to trying to draw all of the nourishing life we can from that source. Are you abiding in the vine? Are you living in it? Are you making it your home? Are you drawing your strength from grace, from God through Jesus Christ? Are you allowing or inviting God to produce fruit in your life? Are you praying to listen? You know, prayer is not just about talking. It is about hearing. And when we ask God a question, we need to wait for the answer. You might say, well, I don't hear God saying anything. Well, maybe you haven't waited long enough to hear God. Some of you know what it means to hear the hope that God offers and that is alive in us because of Him. Because we are rooted in Him. Because we are pruned by Him. It's from Christ that we draw our strength. And Jesus' fruit bears within us because He lives in us and we live in Him. So where do you stand with Jesus today? I don't know. Some days are diamonds and some days are stone, right? If you believe the song, it's sometimes the hard times won't leave us alone. But we have a better chance if we are rooted in the soil of God, and if we are pruned by the Master to grow along the guideline, the guide wire to keep ourselves connected and to keep ourselves nourished by the earth and by the branches of the vine. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me and you will bear fruit for the kingdom of God. Let us pray. God, we pray that your word in us might bear fruit, that we might go about our daily work with the purpose of abiding, of living in you, that we might breathe and think and see with your eyes, and that we might draw our strength from you as our source, because we are connected with the vine. God, we don't seek any credit for bearing fruit. But what we do bear, let it be that which will honor you. Let it be that which will come from the vine of Christ and the fruit of the Holy Spirit of His life and yours in us. So be it. Amen.